Pray that the Lord would bless His Word this morning. His Word is alive. It's His Spirit that quickens it, that makes it alive. It gives us understanding of it that, you know, the Lord is able to take His Word. And He's able to look down by His Spirit into every heart here today and know exactly what you and I need. And He's able to apply His Word to that very need of our lives. Our part is to come before Him with a heart that's hungry and thirsty for righteousness, with a heart that desires to learn from Him, from His Word, with a heart that desires to hear what He has to say for us, to us. I'd like for us to consider the thought of being triumphant. Being triumphant in Christ. We sing a song, maybe we'll start with that song, number 200. Number 200 in our book, maybe we'll sing the first verse of it. It asks a question that I'd like for us to all consider this morning. Do you triumph, oh my brother, over all this world of sin? Any storm of tribulation, does your Jesus reign within? I am praying, it's really raining far above. Testimony. I am reigning in this life. It asks the question, do you triumph? Are you triumphant in your life in this very present age? Scripture says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteous and godly. Not in some age or in some time in the future. As many people today believe that there's coming a time when Christ will come and set up His kingdom in the future. And in that time, we can reign. In that time, we can be victorious and we can rule over our enemies. But I want us to realize today that Jesus Christ has come to give us victory. Jesus Christ has come to cause us to triumph. Let's begin in 2 Corinthians. You turn with us to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Second Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God. He is the one that's worthy of our thanksgiving and our praise. For without Him we have nothing. Without Him we're not able to live a victorious life. But it says He causeth us always. Not only whenever we come together in worship services when the saints are looking on, but always. How many hours a day is always? Isn't it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? He causeth us. I want us to Be reminded this morning that there is an experience with the Lord, that we can triumph with Him always, throughout our lives, in the good times and in the bad, in the easy times and in the difficult times, when people are treating us well and whenever they're not. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto our Lord Jesus Christ. He causes us. He gives us the ability to triumph. This word triumph refers, whenever you look at the definition and the meaning of it, triumph, being triumphant, was not just a battle where you went out in the old Roman times, the time of the Roman Empire, this era of history. It's not just the battles that they went out to and they came back home limping. Or they came back home maybe just barely, or they had won a stalemate. They had just kind of agreed that neither of us will win. But being triumphant was something that was a very decisive victory. It was a very overwhelming victory. That they came back and it was very apparent that they were conquerors. And so they would come back into the city. And they would bring with them the spoils of war. If they had gone into other lands and they had conquered people, they'd bring those people before them and march them through the streets and show, here's what we've done and what we've conquered and what we've overtaken. It was a very public event, something that was very apparent to all those that looked on, that they are triumphant, that they are victors. They won the battle. And so it says here, Christ causeth us to triumph. He causes us to be that same way in our lives. So what is this triumph? Let us consider for a moment the working of the Lord among His people. We know that God, if we see Him in the proper light, if we have an understanding and a vision of who He really is, like Isaiah said it, I beheld God high and lifted up. That's who his picture, his vision of God was. He has all power in heaven and earth. He has the power to be able to speak the word, and the heavens and the earth are created. To speak the word and the waters are divided and the dry land appears. To speak the word and the animals are formed, and to speak the word and light is created. He has that power over the universe, over the laws of science and of physics and of nature. He's a powerful and a mighty God. There is none like Him. There is none that rivals Him in power. If you look at the mighty people of the world, mighty military leaders and rulers of Alexander the Great or Napoleon or whoever you want to look at, there came a time that their power was overthrown. There came a time in their lives where their kingdom began to diminish. Somebody else came along that was greater than they were. And they overthrew them, and their power was then set up. Do you know, that's never been the case with Jesus Christ. And it never will be the case, for there is none other that has the power that He has. There's none other that's able to rise up and overthrow the Lord. And you know, that's what gives us hope. That as I'm following Him, as Jesus is my commander in this battle, spiritual battle that every one of us are facing, He can cause us to triumph. If He is our leader and He is our captain, has He ever lost a battle?
No.
Has the Lord ever come to a place or to the enemy? How about maybe the Canaan land? Did He send His people to the Canaan land to see the walled cities and then say, you know what, that was a mistake? I shouldn't have sent you up there. I didn't realize how thick those walls were. Was that what the Lord told the children of Israel? Did He tell them whenever they came up to the Red Sea, oh, children of Israel, I'm sorry. I didn't think this one through very well. There's a sea before you and there's nothing that we can do now. I'm sorry. This is greater than I am. Oh, Pharaoh's ruling over you. Pharaoh's got more power than I have. There's nothing I can do. That's not the God that we serve. He's not a God that's of small power. He's not a God that's limited. Whenever I come to Him, and I know in our lives, we can come to places that I think, I don't know how to win the victory in this. I don't know how to overcome this in my life. I'm battling with something here. There's something that's got a hold of me, or there's a way about me that I don't know how to overcome this. I don't know how to rise above this, but I want to remind us this morning, it is Christ that causes us to triumph. And His plan for every one of us is that we live a life of victory. He has the power and the grace for us to live victoriously, for us to be triumphant. So the Lord led the children of Israel out by a mighty hand. Was there any people that was able to stand before them? Any walls too tall? There was nothing that could stand before the Lord and before His people whenever His people put their trust in Him. Whenever they were obedient to the Lord and they followed the Lord, there was no one that could stand before them. There was no might or power on earth that was too great to be able to restrain or withhold them, because it was the Lord that fought their battles for them. And the Lord is able to send hail from heaven. He's able to send, you remember the hornets? He's able to send this little hornet after the enemy. That's the God that I want on my side. That's the one that has the command over the elements. He's able to speak the word and if need be, fire will fall from heaven. Or He can speak to the hornets. He can cause the enemy to hear a sound in the night. Remember that one, the Syrian camp? They heard a sound in the night and it sounded to them like a great army that was coming against them. There was no great army coming against them, but really there was the army of the Lord. That the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that, what? That fear Him. And He delivers them. The Lord is able to deliver us. He's able to encamp round about us. You remember the time that Elisha and his servant were in the city and they were surrounded by the host, I believe in that case, of the Syrians as well. The enemy was all around. And they were ready for battle. They were ready to conquer. They were ready to overtake the city. And Elisha's servant looked out and said, "Oh, Master, we have no might against this army, against this overwhelming force. Who are we? We don't have any ability. We don't have any power. Look at it. We're done." You ever have the enemy come along and try to tell you, "You're done. You can't win this one. You can't rise above this one. This is one that you're just going to have to accept defeat. You're just going to have to raise the white flag of surrender and say, I give up. I can't live this way. I can't do this anymore. I don't have the grace and the power to be able to do this. I can't live that." You ever have the enemy come to you in those kind of ways? He'll do it. The enemy wants to show us his power. The enemy has power, doesn't he? The enemy has ability. He has power, or else he wouldn't be called the prince of this world. He is the king of this world, of his subjects in the world. He has a power. He has a kingdom. But what does 1 John 4 and 4 say? "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You don't have to fear the power of the world. Saints, as we look at a dark world around us today, at a generation that's getting worse and worse, at a younger generation that's coming on behind, and you think, what values do they have? What understanding do they have of Scripture? Where are they going to take this world? We don't have to fear. We don't have to be in disbelief. We don't have to be discouraged. As I was in India recently, someone was sharing with me that there are those within the nation that had said by, I believe it was 2021, we hope to be able to eradicate Christianity from out of the land and restore it to our roots and our religion. And I was encouraging the people there that if we're on the Lord's side, if we are following Jesus, He will never be overthrown. Whenever the enemy tried in the early morning time of the church, he tried through pagan Rome, by persecution, by burning people at the stake, by turning them loose to the lion, surely that is going to overcome him. We're gonna stamp out Christianity here. We're gonna put out this bothersome Christianity that's starting up here by persecution and by laws and by overcoming by the force that we have. But it didn't work, did it?
No.
The more they tried to stamp it out, the more it grew. And the more they tried to conquer, because there's something in following the Lord that cannot be overthrown. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Familiar prophecy, I hope it's one that you're familiar with. Daniel 2, and 44, a vision that the Lord had given to Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonish king that didn't know the Lord, didn't seem to have much understanding of his laws, but he gave him a vision in the night, a dream, and Daniel, he gave the interpretation of that dream to. It was a dream and a vision that foretold of times that were to come. You know that's the way that our God is? He inhabits eternity. He's able to look in the future of your and my life. He knows what's tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next year. He's already there. And so he gave a dream to Nebuchadnezzar that foretold the things that were coming in the future. Man can't do that. The forces of mankind and of humanism aren't able to do that. But the Lord was able to foretell. And the dream that he gave here, we'll just read a little bit of it. He saw a dream of a statue that was set up of different materials, and he told them, this is of different kingdoms that will be set up. Nebuchadnezzar, after you, there's going to come another kingdom that'll be set up, the Medes and the Persians, and they'll set up their kingdom, and then that's going to be followed by another kingdom, which will be followed by another kingdom. And he said, one after another, those kings are going to rise up, and they're going to overthrow the kingdom that was before them. But let's read here in the 44th verse. And in the days of these kings, speaking now of the Roman Empire, that last great kingdom, that part of the statue that it was talking about of the Roman Empire is the time in which Jesus was born. It says, in the days of those kings of the Roman Empire, that the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is a kingdom that's a different kind of kingdom. That Jesus, whenever he came, he was setting up his kingdom and establishing his kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven was preached from the time of John the Baptist. Oh, there's been so much confusion about what this kingdom is. Even in the time of Jesus, the Jews were looking for a literal kingdom that would be set up. They were looking for another kingdom that would come and overthrow the Roman government. And that's what they thought their Messiah would do. But that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't come to overthrow the Romans, but he came to overthrow a different kind of ruler. One who ruled over the hearts of men. We read in John chapter 8, Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And he told them, you shall hear or know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, we are free. We've never been in bondage to any man. We're Abraham's children. We're not slaves. But he said, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Whoever commits sin is in bondage to sin. Many people today seem to believe that they can control sin. I'm going to just commit a little sin here. I'm going to allow this into my life. And I know this is contrary to God's word, but I'm going to partake of a little bit. I can control it. I can control this thing. But Jesus said, whoever commits sin, you've given yourself as the servant of sin. What does a servant do? A servant does the things that the master says do. The master of a sinner is not Jesus. It's the master of sin. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. It's not just my words, my thoughts. Let's see what the scripture says here in 1 John 3. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Folks, that's a pretty clear scripture. Whoever commits sin, it's not of God. That's not the origin of it. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Whoever chooses. What is sin? To him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it. To him, in other words, that has an understanding of God's word and of God's law. That this is what is right. This is what God expects and requires. But yet, I'm not going to go that way. I know God wants me to not lust after another. I know he doesn't want me to commit adultery, but I don't have the power. But I still want to do, or I make excuses, or I try to justify in one way or another some sin in my life. Folks, it's not going to stand before God. Because God is a holy and a just and a righteous God. And whoever commits sin, it says, is of the devil. And that's what he told the Pharisees as well. If you are of God, you would do the works of the Father. But you're not. And so you do the works of your father, which is Satan. That's what you're bearing forth in your life. So today, to all of us that are here, what are we bearing forth in our life? Do we triumph, as the song says, over sin? In our lives, has there been a very clear separation of right from wrong? Has there been a very clear and decisive victory that I have won over sin? Are there those places in my life that maybe I've struggled with? Have you found a place in the Lord of victory? Have you found a place in the Lord to find on your knees before Him the grace that you need to rise up above that? The Lord has that for us. Let's continue reading in that verse. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Here's what Jesus' purpose was. Here's why He came. To destroy the works of the devil. What the enemy wanted to do in our lives. So the kingdom that He came to set up was not a kingdom that overthrew the Romans. Was not a kingdom that set up His throne in Jerusalem. But do you know where He did set up His throne? In our hearts. And in our lives. That's where He wants to reign. This today is a spiritual kingdom. The Jews didn't see that at the time. In fact, you can read in several different places that they asked Jesus. They demanded of Him, in fact, it says in one place, when the kingdom of God would come and where it would be set up. And He answered, my kingdom is not of this world, else would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. He said in another place that my kingdom does not come with observation. You're not going to be able to look and see this kingdom as you do all the other kingdoms of the world. Because that's not the nature of this kingdom. That's not the kind of kingdom that this is. This is a spiritual kingdom where Jesus is King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. We read in Revelation that we are made unto Him. Revelation 1:6, when we're over close here. It says, He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made us kings and priests. A king is one that has authority. It's one that has power to rule. To rule over what? Or whom? Is it power to rule over our neighbors that are bothering us? Power to rule over maybe the Muslims. To rule over them. Is that the power that Jesus came to give us? The power that He came to give us is to rule. But it's to rule over sin. It is to conquer sin in my life. In my heart. Not only the outward that you see. But as we read the verse at the first, He causeth us always to triumph. Folks, religion cannot do this. But salvation and the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ is what enables us to be a king unto God. It's what allows us to rule over our lives. So when temptation comes my way, when the enemy comes along, and it's safe to say that with every one of us, the enemy comes along and tempts us to go the wrong way. He tempts us unto sin. He tempts us in whatever way or whatever form it is. Look at this. Think this. Allow this desire. Speak this way. Go this place that I know is contrary to the way of God. But yet he presents it in a way that he tries to appeal unto my flesh. He tries to draw me into that path of sin. Do we have to be subject to that? Do you know there's a church world today? We call it a church world. There are many people that have a profession of salvation. And maybe some of them don't understand better. But the plan of God through salvation is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us. It makes us clean. He gives us power to rise above those temptations. That I can have the power, not over again my enemy in this world, but he gives me power and grace to say no to Satan. To say no to the devil. Whenever he would try to embed himself, whenever he would try by so much force that it just seems like, I just don't know if I can, I don't know if I can stand up under this one. There is grace. He giveth more grace, it says, to the humble. There is grace and victory for us to be able to triumph in our lives. He causeth us always to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, see the vision of him in Revelation as one that was seated on a white horse. Went forth, he had a crown on his head. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's a picture of a victorious general in battle. And you know he'll lead every one of us in our battles to victory. We'll sing another song. It says, be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. Only cowards yield. When the foe they meet on the battlefield, we are blood-bought princes of the royal host, and must falter not, nor desert our post. Be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict you shall win the day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. You know, I'm so thankful that this salvation is one of victory. Aren't you glad I don't have to stand before you and tell you, saints, you can't help but sin. You're going to keep living the same way that you always lived before you came to the Lord. You're going to still have the same desires, and you're going to still have the same thoughts, and you're still going to treat your family and your neighbors and your co-workers the same way that you always did. But Jesus will just change your name and you'll be able to call yourself a Christian. There's more to the power of God than that. He was manifested for this purpose. To overcome and destroy the works of the devil. So you know, we could look at something like this morning. And we could think of it just in terms of, well, this is just doctrine. He's talking about the theory of what salvation does, but I'm interested this morning in us looking down inside and answering the question to myself before the Lord. Do I triumph? Am I really triumphant in my life? You know, there was a place not all that long ago that I recognized in my own life the enemy was trying to work. I hadn't gone back on the Lord. I hadn't chosen to go away that was sin. But I could see the devil starting to get a foothold in my life and in my heart. I could see some places where I didn't have the grace that I needed see where the enemy was starting to work. The Lord began to show me a way to get the victory. You know, the Lord's faithful to us. If we want the victory, folks, there's a way to live victoriously. It's hard on the flesh. If we follow Jesus, it involves a dying out to the flesh. It involves a being willing to crucify the flesh. That's where we find victory in the Lord. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it springeth forth and bringeth much fruit. Folks, that's what the Lord wants in our lives. We're going to have to be willing to die out to ourselves. And folks, I want to say it's more than just those places that I look at and say, well, I know that's sin. That's sin, and I've not gone there. I'm not going there. But I want us to realize even attitudes.
Yeah.
Even ways of thinking. Ways of looking at life. Ways that I've just always reacted to people. Whenever I'm maybe annoyed, irritated, not done right. Whenever I'm mistreated, the way that I treat those that mistreat me. You know, there can be places about us that are so much a part of who I am that except for the mercy of God, I won't even see it. Because it's just who I am. And I defend it. Well, I'm justified in reacting this way. They deserve to see that. They deserve to hear that. They deserve to be treated that way. Well, I'm justified. I've always, well, the Lord understands. Folks, the Lord doesn't want us to settle for a half-victorious experience with Him. He wants us to go on to victory. He wants us to go on, not just dragging our feet along, but He wants us to be able to win the victory in our life. Press on to what is before us. It says only cowards yield when they face the enemy. Let us be strong and determined. If there are places in your life today that you've been battling, that you've been struggling with, I want to encourage you today, don't give up. And I want to encourage you, don't settle. Don't be satisfied with something less than what God has for you. Yes, we can go through our lives with a half-baked experience. But there's something more than that. There's a greater power. There's a greater grace. You know, we all have to have that. Because the things that we read and we speak of salvation, I don't have the power. I don't have the ability to live that way myself. But for the grace and the strength and the power of God, I can't do it. Religions of the world are so focused on, if you follow these rules, if you do these things, if you wear this certain kind of garment, if you'll go barefoot for so many kilometers down an old dusty road and climb up to the top of a hill to a temple, and you do that every year, then you fulfilled your duty as a religious person. But they can't give grace. They can't give the power within to say no to myself. Because whenever we look at who the enemy really is, you know, Jesus could have easily overcome the Romans. The Lord did it so many times in the Old Testament. So many times in the Old Testament that He overthrew a government or a nation and He gave that unto His people. But now something was changing. The way that warfare was being done would no longer be done the same way. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10 and the third verse, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? They are mighty. Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Does the enemy have any strongholds in your life?
Any place that the enemy is, he's held on to so long. And you know, we can get discouraged sometimes. I have battled with this thing over and over and over. And I've struggled with this particular thing over and over and over. And it just seems like I just want to give up. I just want to throw up my hands. I'll never be able to win the victory. Or so the enemy would like for us to think. I've tried before. Folks, there is victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That we can be, as we read in Romans, of persecution and of distress and all of these things. Nay, through all these things, we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're more than a conqueror through our Lord. That's the plan that He has available for us. Isaiah 43 and 18 says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Today, if you've battled with something over and over in your life, I want you to be encouraged to look up unto the Lord. It's not in your own strength. It's not in your own ability. But the Lord wants to do a new thing in your life. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Folks, the Lord wants to give us the victory. He wants us to be able to be triumphant. Just like the Roman generals, whenever they came back and they had won a decisive victory, it was apparent to everybody in the city, they won the victory. You know what the scripture says of the Christians and the generations following Jesus? Those that were facing persecution, those that were facing a hostile government, those that were threatening to take their lives and that did take their lives. Scripture says in Revelation that they overcame Him. You're saying, wait a minute. Many of them were killed. How do you overcome when you're being killed? Because this kingdom is not like this world. This kingdom is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's something the Lord wants to do inside us that can never be overthrown. Throughout the years ahead in our lives, that we can have the victory. No matter what we face. That's why it's an even greater victory than overthrowing the Romans. To be able to give us the victory down inside is a greater victory. That no matter even if the Romans are over us, still inside, I have victory. Inside, I have love for my enemy. Inside, I'm able to forgive. Like Stephen, whenever he was being stoned to death, you know, he had something within him that gave him a strength that was not human. He was able to look at them and not wish vengeance on them, not have hatred towards them, but he is able to look and say, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Lay not this sin unto their charge." And he looked up and you know what he saw? The same thing that every one of us will see if we'll be faithful unto God. If we'll go on unto victory, if we won't give up, if we won't throw in the towel and say, "Okay, it's too much for me. I can't live that high of a level." Through our Lord Jesus Christ, press on to victory. Press on to what's before us. The Lord has victory in your battles and in my battles. That we can overcome the enemy of our souls. That I don't have to always just be a victim to everything that the devil is trying to do. The things that the enemy's trying to work in my life. The plans that He has for me to destroy my soul, my life, my family, and those that are around us. That through the Lord Jesus Christ, I can say, "No, you're not going there. You're not touching this thing in my life. You can't have my heart. You can't have my desires. You can't have my thoughts. They belong to the Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." There's power that's given to us in the last gospel truth for those that have read it. Talks about the story of the man who had heard the apostles casting out spirits in Jesus' name. And he thought within himself, "I want to do the same thing. I've heard what they say. I've seen what they've done. So whenever it comes time that I see someone possessed by an evil spirit," he went up and tried to cast out that spirit. But you can't do it with words. You can't do it with a form of religion. You can only do it by having the real power down inside you. Yes. Working
that I'm living a victorious life myself. And as he was not, the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt upon him and overcame him. Folks, if you're living in the place with the Lord of victory, where it's clear before the Lord, you don't have to fear the power of the enemy. Yes, we have to be aware of his wiles. We have to know what he's trying to do. I can't just be casual and say, oh, well, it's just the devil. I have to be aware that he does have greater power than I have. But I can also be aware of this one thing, that if I keep him within me, if I keep that power working in my own life, in my thoughts, in my attitudes, and the things that I do and say, I don't have to worry. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Lord will teach. And that was David's prayer. Lord, teach my hands to war. Do you want the victory this morning? The Lord will teach your hands to war. Because it's a different kind of warfare. The Lord's given a different kind of weapons for us to use. It says, again, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, the Lord wants to be a parent in our lives. That brother's got the victory. That sister's won the victory. You know, our family's going to be able to tell it. Our children, our co-workers, you know, our children need to see that mom and dad know how to win the victory. Yeah. It's not that they must see perfection in mom and dad all the time. But they need to be able to see that dad knows how to get on his knees and ask the Lord for grace. They need to be able to see that dad can tell mom I'm sorry, and mom to dad whenever something was said in a way. They need to be able to see, not just hear the words that are spoken, but what a charge to us today. What a responsibility that those that are looking on us be able to see God working in our lives, giving us victories over places. Folks, I don't believe that we have to go all the way through our lives and we get to old age and I have these nasty attitudes, or I have some bitterness down inside me, I have some resentments, and I have some unforgiveness, and I say, well, it's just the way I've always been. Well, it's just who I am. I've always been this way. I believe in God. I believe in the power and grace that He has. That the Lord, maybe there are some things in our lives that the Lord has to bring us to an understanding, that we grow in Him. But the Lord wants to show us, just like He did when He led the children of Israel into the Canaan land. He led them, He even told them, I'm not going to give it to you all in one year or one day. But little by little, I'm going to give you the land. As you're willing to possess the land, as you're willing to go by obedience and faith from one battle to the next, never giving up, never riding a league with the inhabitants of the land, by little, I'm going to give you victories. And you know, if you've been saved for 10 years, if you've been saved for 30 years, you know the Lord's still wanting to lead you little by little. The Lord's still wanting to lead you into greater victories. Into places where maybe I have become satisfied in myself. Well, it's just, I've kind of gotten into this routine. I've kind of gotten accustomed to this way of living. But the Lord's saying, I've got something more for you. Come on. Don't get settled down and satisfied where you are. I've got greater victories for you in your life. Some places so that whenever you come to old age, that the Lord has been working with you and they can, the fruit that's evident in your life, and not only for the old, but all the way from young age, the Lord begins perfecting these fruits in our lives, that other people can see it, that it's apparent. So we don't go today marching down the streets like the Roman generals do we? Sounding our trumpets and saying, I've got the victory. So many people today consider worshiping the Lord to be something similar to that. I believe it's important for us to praise the Lord. It's important for us to be able to raise our hand and say, yes, that's true.
Yes, amen to that. It's important to have that testimony. But it needs to be evident in more than that. More than the shallowness of a religious world or of nominal Christianity, where they live one life, they live in sin, they live a life that doesn't show victory. And then they come to service and they're raising their hands and amen and hallelujah. And that's shallow, if that's all there is to it. What really praises the Lord is through my life. The way that I've been living all throughout the week. Blessed be the Lord God who always causes us to triumph. That's what blesses the Lord. That's what brings glory and praise to His name. And whenever I have a testimony then, you know there's something behind that. There's something that just rings true. It'll become evident. I won't have to go marching through the streets. But it'll be seen. It'll be evident. The Lord has changed them. The Lord has done something new in their life. Whenever we get saved, folks, it's what salvation does. Salvation changes the way we are. The places that we go, the things that we do, the things that we want to do. The Lord changes that. He makes us a new creature. But again, I want to encourage and challenge us. It doesn't stop there. The Lord wants to continue working with us through our lives. Some places in my life that the Lord's been wanting to change. The Lord's been wanting to work on. And I thank the Lord for victory. I thank the Lord in the instance I was telling you, the Lord showed me I want you to go and this is what I want you to do. And I want you to share this fault with someone else. I want you to go and open up. And you know the flesh, no, don't. You can deal with this yourself. Did you know there's a place where the Lord will show you this is what you need to do to gain the victory. This is what you need. If you're willing to come to this place, and the scripture even says, confess ye your faults one to another, that you might be healed. There's something about exposing the devil where he is. You know what? This is something that I've been struggling with. You know what, brother? Would you pray with me? Because I haven't had the grace that I need. I haven't had the victory that I want in my life. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you help me here? There's something about shining the spotlight on where the devil's trying to work. On exposing where the enemy is that can help us gain the victory. The Lord wants to give us the victory. He wants us to be able to live a victorious, triumphant life. To be able to triumph over sin. To be able, Paul talked about it this way, brought it even closer to home. Paul said, in other words, that he triumphed over himself. That I bring under my body. And I keep it in subjection. You know we have to do that? To discipline ourselves, our desires, passions, our appetites, our thoughts, our words, our tongue, that the scripture in James talks about our tongue, which is an unruly evil of itself, that the enemy is able. I've got to control those things. I've got to be, so I am made a king, not over other people. Praise the Lord, I made a king over myself. I made a king over this territory of my heart, over which the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let us be encouraged and challenged this morning to never be satisfied with anything less than complete victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, than triumphing. And the Lord will make it evident, the Lord will make it apparent by answers to our prayers, by greater grace and greater victory and greater power as I follow on in victory, this commander that's never lost a battle. May God bless each one. Amen.